the Iranians may actually have that missing U.S. drone. The Opportunity rover has found slam dunk evidence of water on Mars. And unions continue to strike out at Delta Airlines. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, December 9th, 2011. The Pentagon is still denying that Iran brought down an RQ-170 Sentinel drone, but the Iranians have responded by putting what they say is video of the unmanned aircraft on state-run national TV. The UAV looks largely intact, and the U.S. Air Force did report it lost control of one. That lends some credence to claims by Iran that the drone was brought down using an electronic attack. The U.S. Air Force still says the craft did not land intact, and some experts say the display by the Iranians may be reassembled pieces from the crash site. If the images are real, it seems reasonable to assume the Russians or the Chinese will write Tehran a big check to get the carcass and try to reverse engineer the stealth coatings at the very least. We'll be following this one. NASA says its Mars exploration rover Opportunity has found bright veins of a mineral, apparently gypsum, deposited by water. Analysis of the vein will help improve understanding of the history of wet environments on Mars. Steve Squires of Cornell University, principal investigator for Opportunity, says, quote, "This tells a slam-dunk story that water flowed through underground fractures in the rock. This stuff is a fairly pure chemical deposit that formed in place right where we see it. That can't be said for other gypsum seen on Mars or for other water-related minerals Opportunity has found. It's not uncommon on Earth, but on Mars, it's the kind of thing that makes geologists jump out of their chairs," unquote. The latest findings by Opportunity were presented Wednesday at the American Geophysical Union's conference in San Francisco. Opportunity and its rover twin, Spirit, completed their three-month prime missions on Mars in April of 2004. Both rovers continued extended missions for years, and Opportunity is still exploring. Currently headed for a sun-facing slope to keep its solar panels at a favorable angle during the mission's fifth Martian winter. Unions that were licking their chops, imagining that the merger of Delta and Northwest Airlines would provide an opportunity to organize a largely non-union Delta workforce, are being disappointed. In many cases, they're losing members who used to be at Northwest rather than gaining members from Delta. Delta got notice this week that the National Mediation Board has rejected claims of interference filed by the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers following the Delta Fleet Service representation election in November of last year. With its ruling, the board has upheld the decision of a majority of voters to reject IAM representation, allowing Delta below-wing airport customer service and cargo warehouse people to move forward as a combined work group. Gil West, Senior VP of Airport Customer Service, called it a great day. Quote, "Today, finally, we will immediately begin the process of aligning pay, benefits, work rules, and seniority," unquote. Interference claims are still pending in the representations of workers at airport ticket counters and gates, in customer-facing cargo positions, and in reservation sales. The majority of voters in that election also rejected the Machinists Union. Over the years, Russia has had some proud moments in aviation, but 2011 is not one of them. A new report from the London consulting firm Ascend has identified Russia as the most dangerous country in the world to fly in a commercial airliner, even more dangerous than the Congo and Indonesia. The Wall Street Journal reports the firm has completed a study which shows that fatalities in Russia stemming from aviation accidents have risen dramatically from none in 2009 to nine in 2011, including one which wiped out an entire hockey team. Intoxicated or panicked pilots, forged safety documents, and a lack of knowledge of procedures have been cited as contributing to those accidents. Russian officials dismiss the report and say that new, tighter regulations and inspections will improve things. They also say they have shut down some smaller carriers and grounded older planes. But some companies doing business in Russia, particularly in remote areas, have told employees they should not fly Russian airlines or even get aboard Russian-built airliners. Still ahead, NASA loses another shuttle veteran to the private sector. Sonex Aircraft celebrates a milestone in Oshkosh. And maybe Alec Baldwin should travel by Greyhound. You're listening to Arrow News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, December 9th. I'm Paul Platt. We encourage you to watch this week's fourth installment of Aero TV's new Airborne weekly video feature. With a recap of the week's top stories, you'll find links to all four episodes published so far at the top of our main site at aero-news.net. The one released today is Episode 4. Following the end of the Space Shuttle program, NASA's veteran program personnel are leaving to find other work. Astronaut Chris Ferguson, the last commander of a shuttle mission, is retiring from NASA at the end of business today. The retired U.S. Navy captain flew on 3 shuttle missions and served as a spacecraft communicator in mission control for 4 others. Peggy Whitson, chief of the astronaut office, commented, quote, "His exceptional leadership helped ensure a perfect final flight of the space shuttle, a fitting tribute to the thousands who made the program possible," unquote. Ferguson hasn't revealed publicly what he'll do now, beyond saying he'll be taking a new job in the private sector. SpaceX aircraft will achieve a significant milestone in 2012, holding its 50th SpaceX Builder Workshop on the weekend of January 28th. Next year will be the company's 14th year in business, and it's been holding 3 to 4 workshop events per year since 1998. The SpaceX Workshop, held at the factory in Oshkosh, gives current and prospective builders the opportunity to meet the SpaceX staff, learn about the history of the design and its philosophy, and learn more about construction. Builders gain confidence in their abilities as they build a sample piece of the SpaceX wing to take home with them. Significant kit discount incentives are offered to those who attend. Winter 2012 workshop participants will receive a special treat, an opportunity to attend the EAA Chapter 252 annual banquet held at the EAA AirVenture Museum Eagle Hangar facility. Dining among legendary warbirds is a privilege usually reserved for EAA board members or other VIPs. Guest speaker for this year's banquet will be SpaceX aircraft founder and president John Monette. The banquet will feature a catered buffet and silent auction. SpaceX aircraft provides a series of sport pilot-eligible kit planes and the Aero Conversions line of products, which includes the Aero V engine. Finally today, actor Alec Baldwin has apologized to fellow passengers, delayed by an hour, when his refusal to obey the instructions of flight attendants to turn off his mobile device got him kicked off an American Airlines flight Tuesday afternoon. But he's still mad at the airline itself. As widely reported, Baldwin admits he continued playing Words with Friends, an interactive mobile phone game, after the cabin door was closed and his flight was waiting to push back from the gate. In tweets to his followers, he slammed the airline and likened the flight attendants with whom he interacted to, quote, "retired Catholic school gym teachers from the 1950s, unquote. Baldwin expressed his side of the story on the Huffington Post, apologizing to passengers but noting declining airline service, saying that some flight attendants have made flying, quote, "a Greyhound bus experience," unquote. Well, that's made Greyhound CEO David Leach annoyed. CNN reports Leach has responded with an open letter to Baldwin in which he notes his buses feature superior legroom, leather seats, power outlets, and free Wi-Fi, and observes, quote, "we don't require our customers to turn off their electronic devices, ever. You could therefore play Words with Friends during your entire trip, and nobody would give you any grief over it. I invite you to meet me in New York and we'll take a trip to Boston so you can see firsthand what a great ride Greyhound can be," unquote. Maybe the actor should at least take comfort in knowing there's one person in the world who thinks spending 4.5 hours riding on a bus with Alec Baldwin qualifies as a great ride. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.